listening to EFT Radio Online, where we explore meridian tapping techniques for self-help and peak performance. By listening to this audio, you agree to the disclaimer located at eftradioonline.com/disclaimer. If you'd like to get the schedule of all the upcoming EFT radio shows and access to archive shows, please visit us at eftradioonline.com, where you can subscribe to our free newsletter.
Are you easily annoyed? Are anger and frustration draining your energy? Are you hanging on to the past? Would it surprise you to learn that these everyday irritations are clues to your biggest problems? Welcome to What's Bugging You? Let's Fix It with EFT, with your host, Helen McConnell. Helen is a certified EFT practitioner who has helped more than 1,000 people tap away what was bugging them, resulting in weight loss, higher income, stronger relationships, freedom from pain, reduced stress, and more. Join Helen McConnell as she uses the personal, portable, permanent power of EFT tapping to help her guests fix what's bugging them.
Today, I'm going to begin a multiple-part discussion on the topic of trauma. We're going to talk about emotional or psychological trauma. The terms are used interchangeably. So I'm going to invite you to start tapping while you listen. No need to use words, just tap the entire time you listen. Tap on your karate chop or one of the other points that you like, or use the sides of your fingers that we talk about. Tap your thumb down the side of each of your fingers and just tap the entire time. I want you to take full responsibility for your well-being. Sometimes even talking about trauma can trigger people. And I want to assure you, I'm not going to go into any great detail or anything, but still, tap along. I'm Helen McConnell, your host for What's Bugging You? Let's Fix It with Tapping. I'm passionate about tapping and all that it can do for us. I'm a transformational specialist here in Portland, Oregon, where I work with clients locally and all over the world. My in-person clients come to my office, which is located in my lovely Airstream motorhome. And because of the gifts of technology, I'm able to work with people all over the planet. The topic of trauma is near and dear to my heart because I suffered from unresolved trauma for most of my life until I found tapping. And with the help of tapping professionals and diligently tapping for myself on this stuff, I'm mostly free of that trauma. I say mostly because recently I participated in Steve Wells' Provocative Energy Technique class, and at the first session I volunteered to be the subject. I allowed myself to be vulnerable, and boy did I get triggered. The Provocative Energy Technique tapping we did helped clear a deep-rooted trauma that I'd been sidestepping all these years. And now I feel even more free than I did before. And I know there's always stuff to work on, and I'm okay with that. But I feel quite capable of helping other people. So if you are a practitioner and you want to work on trauma with other people, be sure you do your own work first. Doesn't mean you have to clear up everything that's ever happened in your life, but we as practitioners don't want to get triggered while we're working with a client. So it's from this place of freedom from these old emotions, that I've been able to recognize the causes and effects of trauma on me and on other people. And I've devoted my practice to helping people resolve their traumatic issues. Again, please take full responsibility for your own well-being as you listen. If you do get triggered, in other words, if you start to feel anxious or uncomfortable, keep tapping until you calm down. Turn off the recording and tap until you calm down. If you can't calm down, please contact a tapping professional who's experienced in trauma resolution and ask for some immediate assistance. Emotional trauma is misunderstood by the masses and even by some medical professionals. And yet, I'm going to tell you, most people have suffered from emotional trauma and never had resolution. Emotional or psychological trauma, again, interchangeable words, is the result of a severely distressing event where the victim is surprised or shocked by the occurrence. feels unresourced or powerless, and has no protection. As a result, the person feels a high level of stress, which is their fight or flight, and is unable to integrate the emotions involved with the experience, not only during, but immediately following the event. Now, a child who has a potentially traumatic experience oftentimes can sidestep the trauma if they have a parent who is there to protect them and soothe them and work through the emotions with them. But most of us didn't have that. The cause of trauma is not always personal violence or disaster or war. Trauma can be caused by abandonment or humiliation, especially by a parent or teacher or authority figure. Even going hungry can cause trauma. Or when the family has a financial crisis, or if a family member becomes incarcerated or leaves the home for other reasons. If the child or children feel unprotected and have no way to soothe their stress, they will often sort of pick up a trauma, not consciously. It enters the nervous system and doesn't leave. In my own case, trauma was caused in great part by my sensitivity to my father's own trauma and his reaction to events and occurrences that happened in our daily lives. He never hit me, but he was distant much of the time, lost, I can see now, in his own trauma trance. He was literally in a trance a lot of the time. We didn't understand that back then, but now we can see it so clearly. I remember him sitting at his desk, staring into the distance, holding his cigarette between his fingers, the ash about an inch long. It was as if he wasn't really home in himself, and that affected me deeply. He also reacted, or should I say overreacted, suddenly and irrationally to situations that were not really a big deal. But I can understand now that his old traumas were being triggered, and he was reacting from a state of fight or flight. Rationality went right out the window. As I was often witness to these reactions at the store or in a restaurant or in the car, I never felt quite safe as a child, and I became the peacemaker, doing whatever I could to alleviate situations that might set my dad off. That's too much responsibility for a child, and quite frankly, I wasn't very good at it. I received little affection as a child, and my parents never, in my recollection, told me they loved me, not until I was an adult. I have three siblings who were treated similarly. Our parents loved each other deeply, but they didn't seem to have the capacity to love their children. I'm not blaming them. That's just the way it was. But they were not bad people. They just didn't know any better. They had had their own experiences as children. And whether we want to or not, we often pass along our learned behaviors to our own children. I have four children, so I know that this is true. Even if we promise that we'll never do that thing that our parents did to us. You see, in the moment that we took on the trauma, in that traumatic moment, we also made decisions about ourselves or the world. Decisions such as, the world isn't safe, or I'm not good enough. And there are lots of other decisions or beliefs that we pick up in those moments. They go along those lines. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. Mom doesn't love me. Dad doesn't love me. Things like that. We don't consciously decide these things, but at a subconscious level, we created an actual belief that got emotionally and physically attached to our trauma. It's in that vibrating nervous system. It's in there, in the mix, and it stays there until we resolve that trauma. I never learned why my father was so traumatized until I was in my early 30s. My dad told me then that when he was 7, his dad, who was a raging alcoholic and had his own childhood trauma, threatened to kill my dad with a kitchen knife after having destroyed my dad's sister's bedroom, all in a drunken rage. I'm sure my dad unconsciously decided at that moment something about safety and love, and I'm sure he later decided that he would never treat his kids the way his dad treated him. And you know what? My dad was never violent with us. But my dad never resolved his trauma, and he had never learned any kind of love or affection from his dad, so he couldn't possibly give it to us. Or maybe he was afraid to touch us for fear he might hurt us. We'll never know. My dad died many years ago as a result of a lifetime of stress and anxiety that mostly came from his childhood traumas. Those unresolved traumas. After he shared his childhood story with me, I had great compassion for him, and I think it launched me on my way to my current career. I began to see how his childhood trauma affected him and how that affected me and my siblings and my mother and everything. And it became fascinating to me to see these patterns, not only in my family, but in other people's families as well. The earlier explanation that I gave you of the inability to integrate our emotions after a traumatic event explains why the event is sort of frozen in time, back when it happened. We didn't integrate the feelings. We never resolved them. We never completed them. And I have this phrase that I use, if we don't complete it, we will repeat it. And most of us don't know how to complete our feelings because we didn't learn it as children because our parents didn't know how to do it. But now we're learning. So I'm going to give you a visual that I hope will help a little bit. It's not accurate, but it should help a little bit. So I want you to imagine a violin and maybe three of the strings on there or all four of them being plucked at the same time. They vibrate, and that vibration is what creates sound in our ears. Now imagine that those violin strings never stop vibrating until you put your hand on them. And when you take your hand off them, they vibrate again. This is sort of the way trauma works. The traumatic event plucks our nervous system and sets it to vibrating. We feel horrible emotions along with this. And we decide things about ourselves and life. And those things get imprinted onto our nervous system. They're right there in that vibration, along with the memory of the event. There's no one there to soothe us or to stop the vibration. There's no one there to protect us, and so our nervous system keeps vibrating. We learn to calm ourselves eventually, to put a hand on the strings, if you will, maybe by eating something or biting our nails or rubbing our blanket to our cheek or hurting something or acting out. It calms the feelings for a bit, and I'm not sure it actually calms the feelings. It might cover them up. But as soon as we take our hand off, if you will, as soon as we stop eating and stop acting out and sort of get back to normal, our nervous system vibrates again. In order to keep that under wraps, it requires a great deal of energy and attention. And when we get distracted, we're off our guard and we can easily get triggered again. The strings are vibrating and creating those awful feelings that we've been trying so hard to avoid. And that sets us off, trying to soothe those feelings. More food, alcohol and drugs, sex, shopping. Our childhood soothing mechanisms take on a grander sort of adult version. Not very grown up, but adult. And if anger and acting out was our soothing mechanism as a child, that too gets grander. And if keeping our feelings stuffed down was our way of coping, we stuff more as an adult. This often leads to depression, heart disease, anxiety, and cancer, and sometimes sudden rage. For two members of my family, my aunt on my dad's side, the sister that I told you about, who was highly traumatized also by her father, and she was 10 years older than my dad, and my uncle on my mom's side, who was in World War II and suffered some trauma there that we didn't understand. Both of them stuffed their trauma, and I believe now that it led to Alzheimer's. Both of them had traumas from childhood and in their teenage years. Both of them were super sensitive. And imagine your mind hearing you say, "Don't remember that," over and over your whole life. Maybe not out loud, but you're telling your mind, "Don't remember that. Don't look at that. Don't remember that. Don't look at that." Your mind will learn not to remember that, and lots of other things as well. It will learn not to remember lots of other things. Now, this is just my theory. There's no research done on this yet, although I'd like to conduct some soon. But that's my experience with my family and Alzheimer's. A desire to not remember. I feel certain that my father probably would have come down with Alzheimer's, but he didn't live long enough. So until we resolve our trauma, that feeling of non-integration of emotions, the unfinished feeling, can be so terrifying that most people don't want to look at the event ever again. Anything to avoid those feelings. Unfortunately, all it takes is for something slightly resembling some aspect of the initial traumatic event to trigger the person's response or reaction. It might be a sound, a smell, a movement, a memory, the time of day, the time of year, the breeze on your face. These seemingly innocuous things might set off a traumatic response. And we'll have more on this topic after this brief message. Hi, it's Helen McConnell. If you've listened to previous episodes of my show, you'll know that I infuse my tapping with many other techniques, ideas, and premises, including Ho'oponopono, Hawaiian self-forgiveness technique, NLP, matrix re-imprinting, preformations, affirmations, and affirmations. And I always rely on intuition and guidance from my higher self. I've come to realize that each of us is unique and different, and yet we are all one. This is just one of the many paradoxes that tapping has helped me to accept. We are each perfect and divine, no matter what anyone else thinks, and we can choose to become more of who we are. Tapping makes this so much easier and more graceful. When we begin to want to change, in order to be more authentic for ourselves, rather than trying to become what others say we should be, the process of transformation becomes miraculous and exciting, curious and fulfilling, rather than drudgery and soul-sucking. I invite you to join me on this amazing journey of self-discovery and self-mastery. Archived episodes of this podcast are available at EFTRadioOnline.com or at my website, PurposeProsperityHappiness.com or HelenMcConnell.com. You can find my podcast at iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. And if you'd like to consider working with me one-to-one, please go to my website, PurposeProsperityHappiness.com, and click the Schedule an Appointment button, where you can schedule a free 20-minute consultation to see if there's a fit. I love working with women and men of all ages who are ready to install some new personal operating software and reboot their lives. If you're ready for transformation and you're looking for a coach, guide, and mentor, I hope you'll contact me. There's no obligation and no pressure, simply a conversation about what's possible for you. That's PurposeProsperityHappiness.com and click the Schedule an Appointment button. And we're back. Before the break, I was saying that until we resolve our trauma, that feeling of non-integration of emotions, that non-resolution, can be so terrifying that most people don't want to look at their event ever again. Anything to avoid those feelings. And as I said, unfortunately, all it takes is for something slightly resembling some aspect of the initial traumatic event to trigger the person's response. It could be a sound, a smell, a movement, a memory, the time of day, the time of year, the breeze on your face. These seemingly innocuous things might set off a traumatic reaction. And that means that most people are walking around like ticking time bombs. Some people keep their emotions stuffed way down deep under a facade of everything's okay. Some hide their trauma behind anger. Some are depressed. Some are confused about what's going on. Whatever the case, people with unresolved trauma are not expressing their true potential. They can't. Even if they're doing great things in the world, they are not reaching their potential. They're afraid or distracted or feeling less than. In severe trauma cases, victims often can't even leave the house. They can't have relationships. They feel alone, rejected by society, suicidal. A couple of months ago, I was asked to come to a public speaking class at one of the community colleges near here. The instructor wanted me to introduce tapping as a way for her students to overcome their fear of public speaking. Did you know that research shows that people are more afraid of public speaking than they are of dying? Just a little side fact. Well, public speaking is one of the first things I use tapping on for myself. And it worked so well and in such short order, less than 5 minutes, that I decided I needed to share this thing with the world. Anyway, there were about 22 students in that class, and they were very willing to participate in my tapping demonstration. All except one, that is. The students were all standing in a semicircle in front of me. There was a young woman literally hiding behind another student. I noticed her, but didn't say anything. We were doing a simple tapping demonstration where students could experience a shift in their bodily sensations. Everyone in the class noticed a shift after just one round of tapping. And after the second round, everyone's sensations had dissipated noticeably, except this young woman who really didn't participate all that much. I led them through another exercise, gave them some resources, and it was time for the class break and time for me to leave. Several people came up to speak to me about tapping. The young woman I mentioned held back, but when everyone else was gone, she approached me. I could see she was in shock, and when I took her hands, they were quite cold. I immediately took her outside and told her I was going to tap on her. I told her that she didn't need to tell me what was bothering her, but to just keep feeling it, and that I was there to help her. Her intensity was way over a 10, I could see that. She couldn't really even speak, so I know she was totally triggered. After just one round of me tapping on her, saying soothing things and telling her that she's not alone, I'm here with you, her intensity was down to an 8, and she could tell me. I tapped another round on her, telling her that I know this thing has been bothering you for a long time, but there's a good chance it won't bother you again after tonight. That last part is some NLP, and I'd never tried anything like that before, but it just came out of me. I just said it. After round number 2, she was down to a 5. She was shaking, but in a release kind of way. I tapped another round on her, and her number was down to a 3. Then one more round, and she was down to a 2, and she said, "I'm ready to go back to class." I mean, just as clearly and as calmly as that. I got her some water, and then I left the class. I never saw that young woman again, but the class instructor is a colleague of mine. She reported that our young friend blossomed in class after that. She no longer hid. She fully participated, and by the end of the term, her speaking topic was telling part of her story of trauma. That suggestion I put in, that there's a good chance you'll never be bothered by this again, worked. The experience reminded me of how suggestible we are when we're in traumatic response, whether at the original event or re-feeling it many years later. It's a good time for a practitioner to drop in a positive suggestion. And this explains, this suggestibility explains why riots and mob scenes are so dangerous. People get triggered, they're out of their rational heads, and they're very suggestible. Let's loot these stores, or let's throw rocks, or let's do all kinds of things that we wouldn't do under normal circumstances. These are the kinds of suggestions that mob scenes give to each other. So getting back to our young friend for a moment, this is just a small sampling of what we can do when we resolve trauma. This young woman might never have found her voice, hiding behind an old fear, an old trauma. She might never have been comfortable. She might have decided to avoid relationships or chosen unhealthy ones. But now she has a chance to become her greater self. That really pleases me. It makes me very happy. I've done quite a bit of trauma healing with clients and participants, sometimes expected, sometimes unexpected. For example, in a meetup group, we never know where we're going to end up as we tap as a group, and sometimes trauma will come up, and I will deal with it. That's the unexpected trauma. Sometimes people make appointments with me to work on their trauma, and that's a more expected kind of trauma. But either way, the results are always astounding, and I'm always reminded of how much our greatness is hiding behind trauma in those unresolved, unintegrated places. Tapping is, in my opinion, the greatest tool for actually healing, resolving trauma. My thoughts on why this is go something like this. Remember the violin strings, our nervous system, that are plucked when we have a traumatic event? and how they continue to vibrate long after the event until we learn to temporarily soothe them? Well, tapping is a wonderful soothing tool, and when we tap, when we're triggered, we sort of rewire our nervous system in our brain. We essentially send a signal to our body and our brain that says, hey, now we have a new way to react to that old stimulus. I'm really oversimplifying this, but the fact is tapping works wonderfully on trauma. Our old methods of talking about it until you get used to it or desensitized to it don't work because we're not soothing the nervous system. Our trauma will still get triggered if we've just desensitized, but not when we've rewired our system. Recently, a young woman emailed me about working on her trauma. We worked together via Skype for 6 sessions. During this time, we worked on some major traumas involving her father. Her symptoms showed up in many ways, and despite this woman's career success as a mechanical engineer working in a male-dominated industry, she still felt less than around her male colleagues. This brilliant young woman experienced invisibility at staff meetings, even when she spoke up. Another symptom she experienced was a fear of her father, even though he lives in a different state. When she would see anyone who resembled him or see a license plate from his state, she would go into panic and fear and hypervigilance. These responses were keeping her from enjoying her life fully. She was considering changing her career because, as we discovered from our tapping work, academia is where she goes to hide from her feelings, and she's really good at academia. After our work together, not only did she begin to get recognition at work, but her fears of her dad had gone completely. And she determined that this career has way more to offer her, and she to it, than she has been realizing, and she now feels that she has a purpose here in this career. So what if 7 out of 10 people have suffered emotional or psychological trauma? And I think that's a low estimate. What is the world missing out on while these people attempt to keep their experiences under wraps and hide away? If even one of those 7 people has an amazing idea that they don't bring to fruition because of their trauma, then we are missing out. If even one of those 7 people takes out their trauma on children and loved ones, then we all suffer. If even one of those 7 people commits a violent act, our collective trauma is prolonged. I'm on a mission to bring trauma healing to as many people on the planet as possible. Whether it's a violent, traumatic event or a more subtle event, resolution and healing is imperative for the spiritual growth of humanity. I hope you'll join me for part 2 in this series, where I will discuss our collective fear of trauma and trauma healing, and why that's keeping us small and powerless as individuals and as societies. Thanks for joining me today. If you have any comments, please let me know. You can email me, helen@purposeprosperityhappiness.com. Thanks for listening.
What's bugging you? If you'd like to be a participant on the show, please go to Helen's website, purposeprosperityhappiness.com, and click on the What's Bugging You tab. Then click on I Want to Be a Participant. While you're on the site, you can view all of Helen's free tapping videos or schedule a complimentary transformation conversation. Again, that's purposeprosperityhappiness.com.